Unlike the rubber doorstop, I didn't instantly recognize it for what it was. Then I did. Anyone would have. Its contour was familiar to anyone who has ever sucked their thumb. It was the stiff plastic remains of a partial set of dentures, the upper dental plate minus the teeth. The plate was still intact. I slipped it beneath the elastic band of my underwear and then went back to assembling my clothing rope. Soon I was finished, shirt attached to pant leg, other pant leg attached to shoes with laces tied together, as if I were going to toss them over and dangle them from overhead electrical wires. The heavier weight of the shoes should make that end of the rope easier to toss and more likely to jam at the juncture of the rim. All the while I was working, I had been keeping an ear out. So far it had remained dead quiet, with no sounds rising above the ever-present white noise of the heating ducts. I heard no bubbler of any kind coming from Monica's vat. I did find it worrisome, however, that I was no longer hearing her slaps coming from inside. A message that conveyed the same sort of dread finality that a boiling lobster pot takes on when the lobsters inside it stop scratching and crawling around. Then I heard something more alarming than the absence of slaps. It was those same two male voices returning. It had to be now. If I was going to make a last-ditch attempt to escape, I had to do it right this minute. But I hesitated, then waited. Then it was too late, as it probably would have been anyway. There was nothing I could do now but tread water and keep silent. As they entered the room, Joey asked his boss, "Should we use three vats for this stuff?" Blackwell said, "No, one is fine. They're all natural fibers. They should have no trouble dissolving." "Okay, boss." Joey's footsteps came up the metal rungs. Blackwell ascended after him. Reaching the catwalk, their steps moved away from me. That was a relief. Then I heard Joey tossing what sounded like a couple of garbage bags full of clothing into one of the vats. They landed with a soft splosh. "Those two," Blackwell said, indicating something else. "But don't drop them in. Lean over and lower them down carefully so they don't splash out." The sound of Joey's breathing took on an echoing quality. Clearly, he was obeying Blackwell's directive, leaning over the vat. A half second later, I was startled to hear three loud gunshots fired in rapid succession. The last one ricocheted off the lid, causing it to spring to life like a Tibetan gong. The ring-off continued for a solid 10 seconds. Though no one had said a word, Joey's breathing was no longer audible. Next came a more substantial splash, approaching what Monica's had sounded like, and I felt reasonably confident in concluding that Joey had just been awarded his own private vat. The fact that he never said a word, not even a grunt, probably meant the first shot had been to the back of his head. Then I heard Blackwell lower the lid and seal it, and then dust off his paws. So the radical alum had been right in saying, when he pounces, you won't even know it. Afterwards, all was silent. I struggled to remain silent, too, my ears straining to pick up the slightest sound. It was hard to hear above the pounding of my heart and my own breathing, which I tried to make as soundless as possible, by taking slow inhales and exhales and keeping my mouth open wide. Then I heard Blackwell's footsteps approaching on the catwalk. I earnestly hoped he would be taking the stairs, but he didn't. He continued in my direction. His footsteps stopped just outside my vat. I watched as his forehead slowly appeared above the rim and grew in size until his full face appeared from above, looking down. I gave a small wave and said,
"Hello, Mr. Blackwell.